If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wide receiver rankings, waddling into the top 12. That's right, folks. Today we're dropping in wide receiver rankings 11 through 15, starting right now on the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. Welcome back, folks, to another episode of the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco, here to bring you wide receiver rankings 11 through 15. So those fringe wide receiver ones and those high-end wide receiver twos on today's show with our man, Donkey Teeth, bringing you those unique rankings every single week, all summer long. Before we do, we want to make sure you're following us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on TikTok, IG, and Razzball Fantasy on Instagram, folks. We got daily content on there as well. But of course, make sure you go to Razzball.com. We have fantastic tools. We have basically every tool you need. We have an ADP tool that you could use to check out all these great sites from best ball to ESPN. We got it. We also have team name generators. Trust me, Razzball.com for football is out of this world. So go check it out right now. And finally, make sure you go to Razzball.com to go check out the great other. We have baseball, basketball, hockey, you name it, we got it. So make sure you go to Razzball.com today for all the great sports content you need. Let me bring my co-host in for today. It's the flagship, the main bread and butter for Razzball football. It's Donkey Teeth. What's going on, man?
Oh, man, I am so excited about Razzball football after listening to you talk. I pulled it up on seven different tabs here on my computer. You're the man, Bobby.
I love it. I love it, folks. And today I'm excited because we're going to be talking a little bit about wide receiver rankings. Now, last week I was out and about in the world, and you did a show with our other buddy Sky, 6 through 10. So just for my own practice, what I wanted to do is I wanted to get all the guys in one place we've talked about. So at the bottom of your screen, you'll see wide receivers 15 through 1 for the fans. So if you're listening on the podcast side, if you're listening on somewhere else, come jump over to the Razzball YouTube channel and check out Donkey T's top 15 wide receivers. On today's show, we're doing 11 through 15. And I am excited. Now, Donkey T, I always say this, and I know you get mad at me because I bring it up all the time, but your rankings are so like, they're brain teasers. Every time before the show, I'm like, okay, what does he know that I don't know? And I'm going into the lab and I'm trying to figure it out. And I love these conversations. So let's get started today at wide receiver 15, Terry McLaurin. So tell us why you have Terry at 15.
Oh man. First of all, I love the ticker going across the bottom. I feel like I'm on ESPN here. If you're not on YouTube watching this, you got to get over there and check it out. This is a masterpiece that Bobby LaMarco has put together for us. Second of all, I love this idea that you're sitting there thinking that I know something that you don't, because clearly I'm a fool donkey throwing some names in a hat and pulling them out for these rankings. But yeah, I do have some thoughts, and there is some thought that goes into them. Not sure if it's good thought. I don't know what's going on over here, to be honest. But Terry McLaurin, I'll tell you what I do know about him is he's got a quarterback this year, Carson Wentz, that, he kind of puts the rest of the quarterbacks that Terry McLaurin's had his entire career to shame, in my opinion. Carson Wentz is not, he's not Hall of Fame caliber or anything like that, but Terry McLaurin's had pretty poor quarterback play. I do want to say, Dwayne Haskins, I think there was a lot of hope for his career. Rest in peace. But there just wasn't a whole lot of great quarterback play there for Terry McLaurin in the past few seasons. Carson Wentz, I think, is going to be a breath of fresh air. I really do. He can get the ball out there. Terry's had 264 targets over the past two seasons. He really is a target hog. And, I'd be shocked if those numbers went down with Wentz. I kind of think that they'll go up. I think that Wentz is really going to lean in on having Terry McLaurin there to throw to as a safety blanket. What are your thoughts here, Bobby?
Okay. So when I go through this process, I do like, I understand 2021, he had Taylor Heinicke, and Heinicke obviously was okay. But he's no Ryan Fitzpatrick. And by the way, if Ryan Fitzpatrick played 17 games last year, McLaurin would be a first-round pick right behind Ja'Marr Chase and Cooper Kupp. All right? I'm taking that to my grave. I don't care what anybody says. But here's the thing. Last year, Carson Wentz, we kind of have a blueprint for an elite one, number one receiver in Michael Pittman. And when you start looking, stacking up Pittman's season last year next to McLaurin, yes, Pittman was a little better. But when you start looking at Pittman's season, you're kind of like, it's got a lot left to be desired when you look at him from a PPR points per game standpoint. So if you just look at the Pittman stats, wide receiver 28 last year at 13.9 PPR points per game. That's a little bit better when McLaurin had Heinicke. In the 16 games with Heinicke last year, he had 12.9 PPR points per game. So yes, there is going to be a little bit of room for improvement, but like we just touched on, that's wide receiver 28. However, the Colts only threw the ball 521 times. That is very low. And if you – so I said, okay, what if we applied the additional 29 pass attempts, because last year the Washington football team, now the Commanders, threw the ball 550 times. I know this is a lot of numbers. 29 more attempts. You gave that to Michael Pittman and his target share, he would have jumped up to 14.7 points per game in PPR. That's wide receiver 20. That's where I see McLaurin, because that's where he kind of was 2 years ago in 2020, right around 15 points per game. So I do view McLaurin as a big-time bounce back, because he was a wide receiver 3 last year with a bad quarterback, but I think he's more of a low-end wide receiver 2 this year with Wentz. Now, if he got Russell Wilson, now we're talking. But I think it's still, because it's Carson Wentz, I might actually view him more as a 20 to 24 wide receiver instead of top 15. But I think we're kind of splitting hairs, right, when you get to this range, of course.
Yeah, I think that's always the case there, Bobby, is like, yeah, once you get into these tiers, it's pretty darn close.
Okay, so at wide receiver 14, I actually think I have the wrong guy in here, but I think it's A.J. Brown, correct?
You know, honestly, I've shuffled these guys around, and I think I sent you the list, and then I kind of kept to it. Let's go with A.J. Brown here. Who do you have in here? Do you have Marquise Brown?
I think it's Marquise Brown.
We can go with Marquise Brown. I mean, again, these guys are all really close. I think I want to move Marquise up, but I think this actually may have been what I sent to you, is this Marquise Brown. This is who I have slotted in here at 14. I mean, I love Marquise Brown, and I'm not sure I can have him high enough for how much I like Kyler Murray. And I mean, the key here is DeAndre Hopkins is gone for 6 games, and that opens up just a ton of targets. You know, last season, I think he was only taken in maybe 6 to 7 targets a game. But the 2 seasons before that, we know that Hopkins is a target hog himself. So I think you can expect 8 to 10 targets a game being opened up for those first 6 games of the season that Hopkins is on suspension. Kyler's a better quarterback, a better passing quarterback than Lamar Jackson. He can really air it out. And, you know, they played together in college. We've talked about these narratives before, but that was – you know, a big part of the reason that I loved Ja'Marr Chase last year. We saw how that all played out. This is not just an empty narrative. This is a real thing. These guys have played before at a really high level. That's a big part of the reason that Marquise Brown was drafted in the first round, was because of how well that he played with Kyler Murray in college. So I really don't think you can overstate that kind of chemistry and that reunion. Really special things can happen. And I'm expecting that in the first 6 weeks. And I think that becomes ingrained, and it's like something that you just can't take away even once Hopkins comes back. And it may only, you know, strengthen that kind of relationship as Hopkins draws that heavy defensive pressure. So that's my take here on Marquise Brown. I honestly wouldn't mind moving up to 12 where you've got him on the ticker. Yeah, that's where I saw it. It's on the ticker down there at 12. So, you know, ESPN is a little bit off here.
I don't know why I got those flipped, but those are the two that got flipped. So, whatever. Marquise Brown at 14. So, here's the thing with Marquise Brown. Last year, he did not do well with his additional volume. So, he did see a huge spike. He was top 10 in targets last year. His efficiency waned. His yards per reception dropped, and he didn't see a huge spike in, like, touchdowns. And now I understand Lamar Jackson was dealing with some injuries last year, and they tried this whole pass-heavy offense. I understand that Kyler's a better pure passer, and I do understand all that. But my question is, we don't have another season to say, okay, what happens when Marquise Brown does get this volume? is he going to return to his career efficiencies? Because if you apply his career efficiency on, you know, targets inside the 20, targets, end zone targets, and targets in general, he would have been the wide receiver 14 last year, right where you have him ranked here. So that to me says, okay, there is room for upside for him to make a top 15 wide receiver case. And last year, listen, the last 4 weeks of the season, Christian Kirk, when DeAndre Hopkins was out and Kyler came back, he was the wide receiver 12. However, he averaged 14.3 PPR points per game, which ironically would have been wide receiver 24 with Marquise Brown. So we have seen like the next receiver step up without Hopkins, but it's a smaller guy like Kirk. He was more like a bottom, you know, bottom 20, top 24 wide receiver. Plus, what happens when Hopkins comes back? So I might err on the side of caution with Marquise. I might not have him in my top 15 personally. I'll probably have him closer to where you have Terry McLaurin, that 20 to 24 range for myself. But at the same time, I could see the upside because if he could put his efficiency with the volume, he is a top 12 type wide receiver. Jump down to 13, Mike Evans. Why do you have Evans? I know previously you had Godwin, but then last minute you switched it up here and you did Mike Evans. So what made you change it last minute?
Well, I mean, there's been good news on Godwin. There has, that he's ahead of schedule. I don't know if we see him for the start of the season. I think that would be a pretty big surprise having the ACL surgery in January. You know, when I put these together, I am not actually pulling names out of a hat, but I am kind of just shuffling names around in the order that I like and seeing like kind of what looks right to me and then dig into the numbers a little bit more. And so I've always had a bias for Godwin over Mike Evans. You know, Mike Evans is, he's a touchdown machine with Tom Brady, really boom or bust. You know, he's actually as good as he's been the past two seasons. He's really frustrating to own because it's like, you're just waiting for that one catch for 15 yard game to come up in your big fantasy matchup kind of a thing. And it always happens with Mike Evans. And then he'll have the three touchdowns in a matchup that you didn't need him kind of a thing. But it's really hard to go against the numbers here with Evans. I mean, Brady, I guess we should mention here that Julio Jones did just sign with the Buccaneers. So, yeah. You know, there's an argument to be made that maybe he steals a little bit of those end zone looks, but I guess from my point of view, Bobby, he's coming into more of the Gronk role is the way that I look at it. And I just don't see a whole lot affecting Mike Evans' role in this offense. And if anything, you know, Godwin being slow to come back here could boost Evans' stock up a little bit. So I'm trying to cut against a little bit of my natural bias against Mike Evans. I've been down on him the past two seasons and it's bit me a little bit. So I don't know. I looked at the ADP. It looks like he's going inside the top 10 still. If you go over to the Razzball ADP tool, which Bobby put together, it's awesome. You can sort through it by position, by different sites and all that. But where would you be drafting Mike Evans, Bobby?
I have him in my top 10. I haven't really gotten into, I'm a little behind on the wide receiver rankings, but at the same time, so when I look at, first of all, with Evans is there has been when Tom Brady came in, he brings in AB, he brings in Gronk. Those were his guys. Got to remember that. Yes, Mike Evans was already here. Yes, Chris Godwin was already there, but Brady went out of his way to bring in AB and Gronk. Now, that level of chemistry and trust that he had in guys like AB and Gronk was shown on the field. Yes, AB only played 7 games last year, but those 7 games are impactful for the end of season rank for a guy like Evans. Plus, you see it in the numbers. When you look at the game, 6 games last year, Gronk missed 5, but he played 1 game where he played like 10% of the snaps. So in 6 games without Gronk last year, his points per game jumped to 17.9. That would have been wide receiver 7 last year, just behind Jamar Chase. So that's insane. Plus, over the last 2 seasons, when Godwin and or Gronk have been out, his points per game jumps to 19.1. So if Godwin gets off to a slow start or ends up on the PUP list for whatever reason, on top of Gronk being gone, listen, Kyle Rudolph is a nice end red zone threat, and I'm not saying he's not, but Brady looked for Gronk. Gronk was Brady's guy. Now it's going to be Mike Evans. So I'm buying all in on Evans because if Godwin's slow to start, I know Russell Gage is a nice player. I know Julio's a nice player, but they aren't Brady's guys. I think Mike Evans is now Brady's guy because of those other guys being gone. That's why I'll have him in my top 10. without a doubt.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, let's jump down to number 12, A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown is actually 12. The ticker's fixed, folks. We have the right ticker going. We have A.J. Brown at 12. This one's actually interesting. I actually didn't think a lot about A.J. I thought the situation with the Jalen Hurts would have had me down lower. But when I did my own research on A.J. Brown, I'm actually interested to hear what you have to say at 12, because I might have him this high as well.
Yeah, you know, I think that's kind of where I landed here on A.J. Brown, is that I would have him higher if it weren't for him being in the new offense with Hurts. You know, we were all amped about A.J. Brown going into last season, and he suffered through all kinds of different injuries. Hamstring was the first thing, then a knee injury, rib injury, calf injury. I mean, I don't know if he played like a fully healthy game all 2021. So those are the kind of guys that you really are considering as great buy low targets heading into the next year. But then, yeah, you throw into that wrinkle of coming into a new offense. You know, that's always tough for wide receivers, you know, learning a new playbook, developing chemistry with the new quarterback, meshing with the new offense as a whole. So there's some uncertainty there for sure. But just on raw ability, A.J. Brown is up there with, you know, probably the top five wide receivers in the game. He's just so polished, such a great route runner. If he can be healthy, which, you know, there's no reason for me to think that last season is going to be, recurring disaster of injury after injury. He's still young. You know, he's not a running back. He's not taking just an absolute beating on, you know, 30 plays a game like a running back. I think that the upside is still there for A.J. Brown to finish as a top five wide receiver. You know, the risk of the new offense and Jalen Hurts not necessarily being a precision passer caps where as high as that we can rank him. But I think the upside argument puts him in this wide receiver one, back end wide receiver one type argument for me.
Yeah, and listen, A.J. Brown in 2020 finishes the wide receiver 7. And why I bring that up is because when I first started this process, I thought the Eagles don't throw. They were dead last in pass attempts last year. Well, their 494 pass attempts was 10 more than the 2020 Titans. So you could take the argument that he can't be a top 10 tight end wide receiver on low pass volume because he did it in 2020. Now, the other thing, though, is Devonta Smith, solid number 2. Corey Davis, by the way, I know Corey Davis hasn't had a great career, was a beast in 2020. One of the most top five, most efficient wide receivers that season. The question comes, can Jalen Hurts become more of an efficient passer? Because Tannehill played out of his mind in 2020. He had 5% higher completion rate, 0.6 more yards per attempt, and 13 more touchdowns on 10 less attempts. So it's the tough part to sell A.J. Brown as a top 12 receiver is that Jalen Hurts will need to take a huge step forward as a passer, which he can because he has A.J. Brown now. But that if kind of makes me a little hesitant to rank him as a top 10 to 12 receiver because there's so many guys like Evans, for example, who are going to not only throw the ball maybe 200 more times, who already have that continuity with their quarterback. So I might lean those guys ahead of AJ Brown, but you're dead right on his talent, and that's why I don't doubt that he could be a top 12 receiver. Let's jump down to number 11. This one's kind of surprising because if you catch the last show, you had another Dolphins receiver. And this one, I got to tell you, I am probably your biggest fan. Not going to lie. I got T-shirts, Docky T T-shirts, hats, you name it, apparel, an action figure. Love the guy. This one, I got to admit, I got to hear this. Because when you have Tyreek Tua, by the way, if you go see the Docky T video, by the way, that just dropped today on Razzball.com. We also have it all over the place, so go check it out. It's on the YouTube channel, folks. The first of 2022. We're excited. A little Docky Teeth animated action. You talk about Tua being your guy. You have Tyreek Hill in the top 10, and now you got Waddle at 11. So sell me, bro. Sell me.
Yeah, I mean, as you can tell, I'm pretty amped for the Dolphins offense in 2022. You know, Bobby, when Sky was when I was cheating on you with Sky last week, he asked me at the end of the show if there was somebody just outside the top 10 that I could see jumping in over the next few weeks before the season started. And Waddle's the guy. I mean, I like him more than Tyreek Hill this year. And I said that on last week's show. You know, he's already got that chemistry with Tua. I think what Waddle did last year has gone largely overlooked because of how great Ja'Marr Chase was. Waddle set the rookie record for most receptions in a rookie season. He had 104. There's only been one other player to, and you know, of course, there's always this qualifier that, you know, this season that, oh, there was 17 game season, right? But he only played 16 games. So there's only one other player in the history of the NFL that's had 100 receptions in the rookie season. That's Anquan Boldin. He had, I want to say it was 140 targets, somewhere. Yeah, it was 140 targets last season. Just absolute target hog. He was Tua locked in on Waddle. And this is a rookie, you know, rookies, they historically, you know, they start slow. It takes them a little time to acclimate. And he didn't, you know, just burst onto the scene, ripping off, you know, 10 reception games. So that was a little bit of a slow start. There's no reason to think that can't continue to develop with Tua. I think he is just a really special player. My buddy Anime Donkey, he said it, that Tyreek and Waddle are two of the best, most talented receivers in the game. And I think he's got a little bit of a leg up on Tyreek because he's already got that chemistry with Tua. He already knows the offense. He's kind of ingrained there, even though this is only his second season. I think there's a lot to be said for that versus a new guy coming in. But also, I could see Tyreek helping him drawing some of that defensive pressure away. I think that's always a reasonable argument to make. We don't know until it actually happens and we see it in practice if, you know, is Tyreek actually going to end up being just the guy that Tua ends up locking in on and to the detriment of Waddle. I really don't think so. It's a possibility, but I think it's more it plays out as more of a situation where Tyreek opens things up even more for Waddle. And I'm just really excited about these guys. And you know, the lowest risk way to invest in this offense is probably just going to be to draft Tua, because you can get him almost free in most leagues. It's one quarterback league. So he'll probably be my favorite way to play this situation.
Okay. So, I mean, listen, I just, when you look at the San Francisco, Mike McDaniel comes from the Shanahan scheme. When you're looking at just the number two options over the last 5 years with Shanahan, since he took over in San Francisco, they averaged 15.2 PPR points per game, the number two option. So George Kittle basically was one or two and the top receiver over that time frame. Okay. Over the last five seasons, that would have been wide receiver 17. Now, the other thing factor of this whole situation is that it was kind of an on-ramp. Yes, Mike McDaniel's first year in the scheme. When you look at way back, you can't really compare 2017. I'm not going to lie, because it was like Marquise Goodwin and they didn't even have anything else. So it's from 2018 on. The number two option took time to really grow. So the first season, number two option, 13.8 PPR points per game. Okay. That's like low-end wide receiver two, high-end wide receiver three numbers. Then over time, the next four seasons, you start seeing the numbers go up 14.3, 15.5, 17.7 last year. So these top two options on average started to grow into the offense because Jimmy G got better, the passing game got better. So year one, I'm just a little concerned that I don't think Tua is going to be able to completely dominate in the first season to make both these guys a top 12. Because Brandon Ayuk last year, over the last 8 games, this is like the pinnacle. Everybody loves to talk about how good Ayuk was last year. Last 8 games of the season, he averaged 13.2 PPR points per game. That would have been wide receiver 24 last year. That's when Ayuk was good. If you want to look at the first half of the year, Ayuk was so bad. So I'm a little concerned because I just don't know if they're going to cannibalize each other. And I do see them both being wide receiver twos. But the question is, if you're going to pick one guy right now, is it going to be Waddle or Hill to be the Deebo Samuel? And just before you even say that, it took time for Deebo to become Deebo. So I guess my question is, if for you to have both these guys next to each other in the top 12 concerns me a little bit, but like gun to your head, who's the one guy? Is it going to be Waddle or is it going to be Hill?
Yeah, I think I hit on that off the bat. It's Waddle for me. And the Tyreek Hill ranking is almost a ranking where I just don't want to draft him. So I think, yeah, maybe I need to move him down a couple more spots just to make that evident and bump Waddle up, because that's the way I feel about this. I wouldn't be shocked if these guys are both successful wide receiver ones. I know it sounds like you would be. There's a lot of variables at play, and I don't know that it's as simple. Like, we can spin it in a lot of different ways. I don't know that it'll be as clear cut. And you know, no offense to Brandon Ayuk, but I just don't think that he's quite on the same tier as Waddle and Tyreek Hill. So we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, gun to my head, it's Waddle over Hill for me.
Okay. And you got to factor in, too, Kittle is a different animal as well versus Gesicki. Yeah, Gesicki's good, but he ain't Kittle. So I get that, too. Trust me, I think there's definitely going to be room for growth. Maybe this is a great time to buy these guys in Dynasty a little bit, just in case people are more hesitant because they might monopolize each other. So there's that. All right, folks, that's all we got for today. Once again, this is another episode of the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. This was wide receivers rankings 11 through 15. Make sure you're also going to razzball.com to check out all the great tools and resources and Donkey Teeth's latest article on the top 10 wide receivers. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. For that man, Donkey Teeth, we are out of here.